Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I had the chance to sit down and talk with pianist Jean-Yves Thibaudet when he was in town to play with the Philadelphia Orchestra Bernstein's Second Symphony, also called The Age of Anxiety. We talked backstage at the Kimmel Center. What an interesting piece with so many different moods.
Absolutely, and also moods that people don't always expect from Bernstein. This is what I find fascinating about this piece. I think it's one of his most serious and most glorious pieces of music. It's so deep. It's so incredibly moving.
And what's the significance of him calling it a symphony as opposed to a concerto?
I think it's only because, it's clear that the piano is like a soloist. He's playing all the time. It has cadenza. And actually, he said the piano was him, was the protagonist. He's the one telling the story. And I think that's the point. The piano is part of the story. It's part of the orchestra. So it is a lot of time in the orchestra as well. And then it's solo. So it's a mix of all of that. But it's not the classical format where you have the piano solo, who does his solo, then the tutti. This is like everybody works. It's a story where everybody's together.
What is your history with the piece?
Well, I played it quite many times now. I think we're probably close to 50 times in my life.
Wow.
And the first time was in the early 90s, and I remember it was actually Michael Tilson Thomas who asked me to learn the piece, and I played it with him, and I played it again with him many times since. But this is how I started. And I've been playing it quite a bit all over, and happily, not only this year of the centennial, but also play also a lot of other years before and hopefully in the future as well, because it's a piece that people don't know so much. It's not so popular. People are not so familiar with this piece, and I think it should be, we should play it as much as we can.
So it's a story based on the poem by Auden, mm-hmm. who wrote it in 1947. It won the Pulitzer in 1948. Bernstein loved it, and it's about four ordinary people in a bar.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Three guys and a girl in a bar that are just discussing life and all the problems and all their... it's a very philosophical and very deep conversation, obviously. And then they start drinking, and it goes deeper and deeper. And it's about all things in life. I think it's beyond life and faith and spirituality and the Father and God. I mean, it's a very complicated discussion. I remember, actually, just as a very quick anecdote, when I was told about the poem of W.H. Auden, I said, I'm going to read the poem. I went to the bookstore to get it, and the poem is about 350 pages. for me, a poem is like one page, two pages. I said, what a lovely poem. And I said, oh, my God. And then it's like a real book. It is fascinating. It's beautiful. And I think Bernstein really, I can't understand that he was really touched by it. And then, of course, his music is so incredibly touching, especially going to the end. And then is the party, of course. You would expect from Bernstein in his life always to have a party at some point. And the mask is the big party. That's very late in the morning. Everybody's really tired, but they still want to dance and have fun. And then at the end of all of that, you've got really the miracle and the faith is what wins at the end. I mean, you understand that this is what the answer to all the question was going to save them all, and is that faith and this beautiful, amazing last phrase that just soars in the orchestra. At that time, every time I have goosebumps. It's just so beautiful.
What's the relationship between the music and the story? It doesn't really narrate the story. Is it like a soundtrack to the story?
Yeah, I think it's more about the atmosphere and about the meaning of the story. He doesn't take every word, and it's not like in a movie where you would have, it follows when they're running, when they go to bed. I mean, there's all whatever is happening. This is really more about the meaning. It's a very spiritual piece, I think, and that's what he was after, I think. And both the orchestra, even sometimes the orchestra, the musicians, the orchestra can be like character. I mean, they can be depicting a certain person, the story. I mean, only four of them, but I think like at the beginning it's clear that it's two people having a conversation. The two clarinets, it's clear that they're just those two are starting a conversation, and then more other come. So, I mean, there's all those kind of things, but he just followed the order, you have the part one, then the dirge, I mean, all those different parts. But the rest of the music is very freely adapted, let's say, to the poem.
And you mentioned that Bernstein's piano part was himself commenting on this.
Absolutely. And I think that's quite beautiful and quite touching as well. And it really is, you see it, as I said, sometimes it's just part of it, and sometimes it just takes like the piano will be alone, and you just take like taking the mic and say, okay, now I'm going to tell you something. And it's some very personal moments, and then the piano comes back with the orchestra. And I mean, it's all kind of... sometimes you feel like he's telling a joke or something. I mean, I've never met him, very, very sadly, but I have lots of friends. I'm lucky to have worked with lots of people who worked and were close to him. And I have to say that I just regret so much that I haven't met him. But from what they told me, it's like he loved to tell jokes and anecdotes and stories. And so I can really sometimes hear in the music, I say, okay, here he's telling us a little joke or something, you know.
So I was going to ask how you approach it, knowing that he played this and this was his thoughts, and you've played it so many times. Has your interpretation deepened as you play it over these many times?
I think so. I mean, like every piece of music, when I learned it, I mean, you just start to understand more and more. I mean, I tried to read the poems. I tried to do everything I could to prepare it. But there's nothing like just your own experience of just performing the piece, hearing it, also getting more to know the orchestra part and be completely with them. And now I think I really kind of absorb the piece, and it's really almost part of my blood. I mean, I played it so many times. And I think you need that. And the piece grows with you, and it also grows on you. I mean, I have to say that I immediately liked the piece, of course, but I think I've grown to really absolutely love it and be fascinated by it. I think it's just an absolutely marvelous, very important piece of music.
Are there particular parts that continue to intrigue you as you work on it?
Not really. I mean, there are parts that move me for different reasons every single time. Like I said, that ending, for example, every single time you want to close your eyes, and it just feels so incredibly pure and soothing. It's an incredible moment. But there's a lot of different moods in the piece, and some of it kind of dark. You know, I mean, it's heavy. It's heavy. But, and then, of course, the mask, it's fantastic, that party time. I mean, it's genius to think that you have the entire orchestra, they all stop playing, and then it's suddenly just almost like a jazz piano trio. I mean, it's piano, double bass, and then a bunch of percussionists, and we just have fun for 10 minutes. It's written fun, it's not improvised, but it sounds like we're just improvising or jamming or something. You know, it's so cool.
It is fun. And as a listener, it lifts your mood a little bit. And I was thinking, it's called The Age of Anxiety. But in some ways, it's an antidote to anxiety.
Well, absolutely. That's the point. That you have all the piece before, which is really the anxiety. That's what they discuss, you know, and they go down and deeper in the world and then whatever it is. And then at the end, they say, okay, now let's have a party and let's forget about all of that and just lifts our spirits up. And that's really what he does.
You know, it's interesting because the 40s were such a busy time for Bernstein. He was conducting. He was composing with his first symphony.
He was also playing the piano, and he was also teaching. You know, I mean, he was one of the unique, I mean, a completely unique character, person, talent, genius in every way. I mean, unbelievable.
And he also seemed to be exploring the relationship between different kinds of art. So he takes this poem and does this piece of music, and his ballet, Fancy Free, becomes a musical on Broadway. He seemed to use music to connect to all parts of life.
Yeah, I love that idea. I mean, I think we had that, I think, at the turn of the century, I mean, 1900, 1910, 1920s, specifically in Paris. I mean, I think, you know, it was a golden period where you had exactly that, where you had the music, you had the ballet russe, you know, and Stravinsky and Ravel. Then you had the painters and the writer and Cocteau. And I mean, they were all working together, doing projects together, and all those groups that were meeting those cafes in Paris and Saint-Germain. And I think this is sometimes a little bit lost because we all are so busy now. We have our lives and we just jump from one plane to another to perform somewhere else. And we don't really stay anymore in a place enough to go late at night and have those discussions around a drink with other colleagues who do something different sometime and just exchange our views on arts, of all the things. I think that's so fascinating, so enriching for each of us. And I think I miss that sometimes. There was one place where I felt that was still completely alive, was the Spoleto Festival in Italy. And I was very lucky to know Giancarlo Menotti very well. He was like almost, I feel like, a grandfather to me, because I was very young and I was very close to him until he passed. And I think Giancarlo was a genius in the way that Bernstein was, one of those incredible persona that just had that charisma, that whatever he touched, he made something incredible. And that festival was really that. And actually, Bernstein came a few times. I think he really enjoyed it. It was just a place where we would meet on the piazza at the end of everything at 2, 3 a.m. We'd be all there with dancers, painters, actors. I mean, everybody was there and we were discussing and laughing. And that's so great. And I think this is exactly what you're saying, what Bernstein was after in this time.
Well, it's great to have you back in Philadelphia.
It's always such a special, special privilege. You know, I feel so lucky to have relations with orchestra like the Philadelphia Orchestra for so many years. I think I came here in the very early 90s, probably, for my debut with them, I think 90 or 91. And I've been coming so regularly, and it's incredible. We have such a hard sometimes life, just solitary life, because we're always far from our friends and our family at home because we're always on tour. And after so many years, when you keep visiting the same places, and it becomes almost like a virtual family, and I have all those different families, and it's like visiting beautiful friends. And when I come here, I know I'm going to have a week here, and I see all those friends in the orchestra, and they ask me how I am, and we know about their life and the children. I mean, it creates something so special, and I've also been on tour with them, so that always gives an extra. You get even closer to the musician to travel together, live through 2 or 3 weeks together. It makes it very enriching as well. So I love that collaboration. I really cherish it.
Great. Thank you so much, Jean-Yves Thibaudet.
Thank you.